Hello and welcome to Self Satisfied. I'm Britta.
And I'm Cassie.
And I'm Chantel.
Special guest. On this week's episode, we talk about depression again, because of course.
Yeah.
We,
seasonal depression as well.
We talk about single parenting.
What's up?
We have a lot of chaotic dog barking.
And kid
tuna!
Not barking, but kid barking.
We had Chantel stay last night, so she joined us on the podcast this morning. Cassie, what's your bright spot this week?
Well, my bright spot is that I love fall, and, you know, I love the leaves changing and the weather, and it's just gorgeous out, so.
I agree with that. I think that's been my bright spot as well. Like, I don't know. The sunshine seems more intense. It just feels so beautiful. It's my perfect temperature. I love the slight breeze. But I love being able to wear, like, my jackets and my pants.
Right.
I love it.
I hate the weather, but that's okay.
It's a little bit nippy sometimes.
My bright spot is a working heater. No, my bright spot, I think, is my staff. We've been going through some stuff at work with some things we were supposed to implement a couple weeks ago that keep getting canceled and rescheduled and canceled again. So their schedules have been changed and changed again and changed again, and their hours have been really high or really low, and like it's just been a hot mess, and they've been so understanding and accepting of it, and I just really appreciate that. So thanks, staff. Who I hope doesn't listen to this podcast.
So, also, just a reminder to everyone, we have our Patreon, so check that out. You get special bonus content, videos. We're recording right now with lots of interruptions.
But if we get more patrons, maybe we could, like, I don't know, record when there's not 17 children.
Get rid of the kids.
Yeah, we could sell the kids. Let's do that.
I mean, comment.
Okay, listen. If you're on the first tier, we'll give you the good kids first. Wait, no. First tier gets the bad kids.
Yeah.
Get the youngest set. Okay? Second tier, you're going to take the middle row. Third tier gets the cool two teenagers. They're great.
They would probably be more entertaining on this podcast.
Can we take your car and go to Jimmy John's, guys?
No.
Oh my god, they will not shut the fuck up about.
Well, we were gonna go bike, but got
around.
Can we?
Hey, we're recording.
Okay, so enjoy the episode. Check out our Patreon. Check out our affiliate link. We will talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for joining.
Bye.
How about we share, dude?
RuPaul says hello.
I'm okay. Life's life and out here. How are you, Cassie?
Oh, I'm okay. Also just lifing.
Just lifing.
Oh.
And Chantel's here today. Special guest, Chantel.
Hello.
Chantel, how are you?
I'm kind of just in survival mode right now. Like, not that life is bad, but it's just kind of, like, dragging me right now.
Yeah, just kind of
floating around, trying to make it through the week.
I don't remember the last time I wasn't in survival mode.
Me either.
Honestly,
like,
though.
Maybe briefly. Briefly for a moment.
How did that look for you? Was that, like,
just beautiful? I bought a lot of antiques, I think.
You did. That was definitely, like, your peak. For a little bit. You were riding that high.
I was on the bullshit. Finley and I were talking about how we'd probably never light the fireplace because we're nervous about it.
I would be too.
Especially since Shreya mentioned that DMO's house burned down like that. And he went around and started naming all the things that we have now that we could never replace.
Yeah.
If it burned down. Oh my god, like almost everything. And I'm like, there's like three things I bought at TJ Maxx and the rest are antiques.
Still probably can't replace them from TJ Maxx.
Right. Maybe be able to find them on a Poshmark or something. Yeah. So how's your couple of weeks been, Cassie? What's going on in your life?
So I went through a little, like a little pseudo breakup. And then, which was kind of me. Like, kind of my self-sabotage mode kicked in, because I think I got too overwhelmed and too scared, because things are getting like serious and that's intimidating. And so, yeah, but then we decided not to break up, and I'm just trying to, trying to not self-sabotage.
Yeah. It's crazy to see your growth even from
the last year. I want to point out that, can I talk about what happened?
Yeah.
Semi-specifically?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to point out that what happened was, you know, Cassie is obviously a busy woman. She's got three kids. She's a single mom. She works 45 hours a week. She does delivery service on the side. And then she also has a boyfriend who lives, what, 40 minutes away?
Yeah.
Where does he live?
And, well, we can't say that on a podcast.
Not his address. What's his zip code?
Quick, let's GPS him for the fans. I don't think we've said his name on here. Probably shouldn't out his
address. Okay, yeah, yeah. My bad.
Anyway.
I'm new to this.
So, the guy she was seeing had, you know, made an offhanded sort of complaint just about, I mean, honestly, it's a sweet complaint. Like, you're always so busy. I feel like I don't see enough of you. And Cassie, you know, I believe she said last week on the podcast, she had said something about how giving up her personal time is kind of a struggle for her. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't have very much of it. So even giving him one night a week feels like a sacrifice for herself, you know? But she's willing to do that because she likes him and things are going well. So instead of what I feel like old Cassie might have done and saying, okay, I'll make an effort to see you more and give up more of my free time, mm-hmm. Cassie said, basically, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. And if you don't like it, you know, that's what I can give you.
But I went about it in a little bit.
Yeah. I think it was more of a defensive thing.
Right. And did you kind of have, like, a panic about it?
Right. Yeah. I went about it more in, like, all right, fine, we're breaking up. I can't handle this.
Yeah, right. Instead of, like, talking it out right in the moment.
I feel like I'm chronically overwhelmed, and I feel like that's kind of always my reaction to
But I still think that, like, even if you didn't handle it in the moment in the best way, and thank goodness that he's a good guy and is pretty open communicatively, and that you guys ended up talking it out and working through it, but still, like, standing up for yourself and saying, like, that's what I have to give, like, that's, like, yes, maybe I have two free nights a week, but I don't want to spend every waking moment serving, living for other people, like, I think that's huge, because that is not something that you or I have really tried to do in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's what I mean.
Round
There's
of applause.
Some growth in there.
Standing ovation. See, you get one.
Sorry, I had to yeet my cat off the computer again.
We'll do it 7 more times.
Yeah, he's a nuisance. A menace. How is life for you, Chantel?
I would say it's like there's nothing wrong. It's just I am a single mother to a 4-year-old. I work 45 to 50 hours a week, so I think life right now is really struggling with the free time that I do have. I'm, you know, it's hard to be everything that Isla needs for the 3 hours we're home.
When Chantel says single mom, like, I feel like Cassie and I are fortunate that our exes are somewhat involved, you know, like, on varying levels maybe, but, like, we don't have our children 24/7, and Chantel does, and Isla, you know, after parents split up, that's always a particularly needy time.
For
and
sure.
With her being 4, that's also a needy time.
Well,
so you combine the two. And, like, Chantel was in the shower before we started recording, and I think Isla knocked on the door, like, 14 times.
Right.
Well, it's also, I think that's the biggest struggle right now is because, like, I needed every waking moment during the day. And it's really hard to be.
And unlike Cassie, you can't advocate your needs to a 4-year-old and be like, girl, I can give you one night a week.
No.
Right.
she's like a narcissist. She doesn't care how I feel.
Right. And that's just the nature of a 4-year-old. Very egocentric. Like.
And I think it's really hard too because I am a full-time nanny. So I watch a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old. So I'm spending, you know, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with these two girls while a caregiver is with my child. And that's, like, its own struggle, too, because I just want to be with, you know, Isla. I don't want to be with her all the time, you know what I mean? Like, we need breaks from our kids. But it's, like, I'm getting paid to spend time with these children and nurture them all during the day, and I don't get the opportunity. opportunity to even do that, you know, with Isla, unless it's on the weekends.
Right.
And on the weekends, usually we're hella busy too. So anyway, life is really good. It's just
to mention you're just tired. Like, I remember when Foster was that age, after coming home from a 45-hour work week, like, I come home from a 9-10-hour day, and like, iPad was his mom for a long time.
You know what? But I feel like there's been a lot of good lately too, because do you ever catch yourself kind of coming out of like a depression and you're thinking like these good happy things that you haven't thought about in a while, and you're like, oh, that's a sign.
Just, like you said, like,
that's a sign that something
being actively grateful is a good way to work yourself out of a depression. Just like taking time, and I mean, it's hard when you're feeling depressed to even remember to take time to be like, okay, these are the things I have going for me.
Sure.
These are the things that are going well. Let me notice them.
Right.
But it does help a ton to just be like, okay, there are good things. Like, of course there are bad things. Some, you know, on varying levels for everyone. Mm-hmm. But there's always good to...
And some
I think so too.
It
like,
has to be like, some days your gratitude just has to be like, I'm breathing.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think, though, that the more...
I think I'm grateful for that. I'm not sure.
I think that I've been more present with Isla, though, because I have such a lack of time with her.
Yeah.
Like, as exhausted as I am, I find myself, you know, reading to her more often now and...
trying to make the moments matter.
I really, really have. So I feel like there's obviously, like... I'm busy and kind of overwhelmed and just exhausted, but at the same time, like, I really feel like I've proved to myself that I've put in the effort to be present with her as much as I can.
Which is awesome, because, like, I dropped the ball there with Foster when he was younger, you know?
She's
like,
just so...
I could not force myself.
I feel like I almost can't really help it, because she's so mommy's girl.
Yeah.
Like, so
I had... Like, and I might have said it on the podcast here before. I know I've said it to people before, but, like, I am the type of person, like, I will take advantage of things unconsciously. So, like, having David when we lived together, like, and knowing that I could, like, okay, you handle this. Like, I would let him handle it instead of, like, stepping in and being, because, like, I would just be like, he's good at it.
We're good. Ignore it, glaze over until
it's fine. We had an altercation at work. Well, not an altercation, but an issue at work a couple weeks ago, where one of my older employees, I had a new girl starting, and she was sitting in the break room. She's brand new, okay? Young black woman sitting in the break room doing her training on the iPad, and one of my older employees came in, who is very right-wing, and kind of started like a political rant.
Gross.
And gross. And like, obviously everybody's entitled to your opinion. I'm not going to sit and argue with you at work about who's right or wrong. Like, whatever, say your piece, it's fine. And like, with me, if something comes up that I'm uncomfortable with, like, one, I'm the boss. Two, I have already been there long enough to feel comfortable
you
being like,
the
hey,
boss.
I
you are the boss.
But I feel comfortable enough to be like, hey, I don't feel cool continuing this conversation. Let's change the subject. A new person does not feel that way. So this woman, like, it started off with, like, I can't believe people are so against Trump. And then it went into, like, how... all these laws for trans kids, and they're trying to turn everybody LGBTQ, and, you know, a woman is a woman and a man is a man, et cetera, et cetera. Just some, like, low-key anti-trans sentiment. And the girl went to the, another associate, was just kind of venting about it, and the other associate took it to the manager on duty, who called the DM to see if that was something we needed to address. So we brought the woman in just to basically talk about being mindful of who you're talking to. And, like, knowing when a conversation, like, is appropriate and when it's not. Like, there are other employees there who very much have the same political beliefs. And if you, and, like, that's well known and pretty obvious. And, like, if you want to have that conversation with them in the break room, great. But, like, maybe bringing up your belief on somebody's lifestyle, like, being queer or trans, etc., is not the best thing to say to somebody you literally do not know at all. Like, you literally met her 30 seconds ago.
Right, like, who's to say that your brother, your child,
well, and that's what the new girl said. She was like, I mean, for all she knew, I was trans, and like, we do have like a lesbian that works with us, and there's plenty of people who are bisexual, and like, I do have a trans brother-in-law and non-binary, you know, nieces and whatever. Like, I've got lots of queer people in my life, like,
for sure.
So that is something that I do take offense to. But anyway, the point is that in the conversation with her about this, she basically was irritated because she was like, well, I just can't say anything because I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. And she kept saying it like that. She said it like three times. I'm about their feelings. And, you know, my boss was trying to talk to her and be like, hey, that's not the point we're trying to make here. And right. And I kind of interjected and I was like, well, I just want to say that, like, her feelings do fucking matter. And, like, you should care about the new girl's feelings or my feelings or anyone's feelings, because I wouldn't come to you and have a conversation that I thought would make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't go to you and be like, I feel like maybe I'm a man stuck in a woman's body, and you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have that conversation with you knowing your political beliefs or if I didn't know you. So why would you have the reverse of that conversation with anybody? Like, you should respect the people you work with feelings. Feelings do matter. And, like, she was just so, like, arrogant about the feelings things. And I feel like that's such a right-wing thing. Like, oh, snowflakes and leftists' feelings are always getting hurt. And, like, yes, like, that is why our whole generation is fucked up. Because our parents didn't give a shit about our feelings. Like, it just was one of those things that was like, this is a big problem in society, especially in the older generations. They just don't care about feelings.
Right.
And then they act like we're babies for bringing our feelings up.
For advocating for mm-hmm. yourself. And
it's just, they just didn't have the opportunity to do that.
Right. Like, they so were told it made them weak.
Yes.
And then, right.
Yeah. Right. Or I think it's obviously a lack of understanding as well.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wanting to understand, or
yeah, and a fear of change too.
For
like,
sure,
right.
I also had my doctor's appointment a couple weeks ago, where they re-upped my Adderall, which was much easier than I expected.
Nice. I was gonna ask how that went.
Yeah.
Wait. What does that mean, though? Re-upped.
So, like, the last time I had gotten my prescription filled was right before I moved.
Was that one of your insurance, like...
No, it wasn't my insurance.
No, that was
I switched
therapy.
Yeah, it's because I switched doctors, because I moved down here.
Yeah.
And so I had to make an appointment with a PCP, and it took a couple months to get in, so I was basically rationing my Adderall, and only taking it, like, on work days, and...
So when did it get re-upped?
Yeah, so I went in, and I was kind of worried that they wouldn't fill it, that it would make me see a psychiatrist, but she filled it for the month and then referred me to a psychiatrist, who then called me to make the appointment. Which
they
I thought.
They called you?
Yeah. Like, they called me and they were like, hey, we got a referral came through for you. Did you want to make an appointment? And I was like, oh my God, yes.
Wow, you're ADHD.
Because I was never going to do that. I was never going to do that. I have a referral to a dermatologist who did not call me, and I still have not
called
them.
Maybe they saw on your chart the ADHD.
Yeah, like, we should get on this. But she also asked me if I had seasonal allergies, and I said no, and then she looked at my throat and nose and said, bitch. Please.
Yes, you
do. And now on allergy medicine, too. And it turns out you are supposed to be able to breathe out of both nostrils, mm-hmm. like, through the night.
Yes. You didn't know that?
Didn't know that. Was unaware of that situation. So that was pretty cool.
Okay.
I still stand by the fact that I think you're allergic to animals, which I am, too, and I have plenty of them.
Potentially. And I just keep adding them to the
mic. Like, I was
just you just keep letting strays come in. You're like, well... I love them. I got my health.
I just can't leave them out in there, you know?
Well, the guy that I'm dating, he is definitely allergic to cats. Like, they will make his throat close up.
That's scary.
So if you ever get sick of him.
Right.
Release the cats!
He can be around them during the day and stuff. He just can't, like, spend the night at my house or anything because I have a cat. Because he can take allergy medicine during the day. I was telling him, I'm like, yeah, I'm allergic to my cat, too. And it gets really bad when he sheds. I'm like, so sometimes I'll take allergy medicine then, and then occasionally a nostril spray, and then sometimes eye drops. And I'm like,
maybe I should.
God damn,
right?
It's like a death sentence. Come visit you.
I also, on the subject of medication, I had an accidental no medication day last week, and didn't notice until the next day when I went to take my medication and. the previous days was not missing, which is huge for me, because usually by noon on a no medication day, right. I'm like, why brain no?
Right.
Why brain no go?
Bad brain.
Why no work?
Why I keep walking in office and not knowing why I'm in office? there was also a quote, and this is a direct quote, but I was listening to the Guys We Fucked podcast again. Like, I'm sorry. This is just a plug for their podcast now.
Yeah.
But I'm caught up, so I'll probably stop mostly talking about it. But I guess Patrick Duffy said that every good relationship has a pattern of lovers to best friends, lovers to best friends, and you have to make it through the second best friends for a relationship to work. And I thought that was really funny because I feel like that's exactly what David and I did. Like, we literally obviously started out as lovers, and then we broke up, went to best friends, got back together, started as lovers again, and then we didn't make it through round two.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, that's it.
Pulled the
peg. But I thought that was funny, like the highs and lows of relationships and how, like...
Well, I mean, that was a long relationship, too, so
yeah,
I feel like
right.
It's, like... super valid to talk about not making it through that phase, and also like all the things that you can fit into 15 years. And you guys, not only as a relationship do you change, but as individuals, like, you both are changing.
I feel like
all the time.
You guys hit that best friends thing after you broke up, though. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you went lovers to best friends, lovers break up.
What are the best friends?
We just chill in there.
I guess that's just where it...
But, like, I feel like you have this, like, growing up, and, I mean, honestly, I was pretty chill on this regard, but most people have this, like, idea of a relationship where you're like, oh, it's gonna be, like, this hot, fiery thing where we're just right. all over each other and passionate for each other for the rest of our lives, and that's not really what a successful relationship is.
Mm-mm.
And on the flip side of that, though, like, I feel like that's why I thought that our relationship was doing okay for so long, because I never really bought into that, oh, it should always be, you know, we're pawing at each other.
Yeah, cutie.
And so when, like, we cooled off romantically, I was like, this is just the course of relationships.
Right.
I thought
sure.
it was cool, and it turns out we just didn't much like each other.
I don't know, though. Like, I think it, I don't know. I still, like, to this day, I get so confused because it just, like, I think even to the outside, to everybody, it was kosher.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's also because, like, I don't talk about shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
like one of my employees the other day had sent a text to the group about how she's just going through a lot of stuff and she was sorry for missing work lately and she's just, you know, has a hard time talking about those things and doesn't feel comfortable, like, being emotional in public, and I was like, I feel you, like, nobody at my store, like, these people I was pretty close to, like, we know quite a bit about each other's lives, nobody even knew I was getting a divorce until I had to tell them why I was transferring down here, and then I was like, oh yeah, but I'm divorced.
Didn't your mom not know till Foster's birthday?
Yeah.
Sorry. That was very shocking.
Listen, I'm not an open person, but, like, it was the same way in our relationship, like, not only was I lying to myself real, real well for a long time, but I, like, when there were issues or things I was concerned about, I didn't really start opening up about them until they got, like, really overwhelming, you
well,
know?
That was me with Kane. I think that
right.
I hit a lot, like, under
yeah.
the surface and not really opening up until kind of it got to a point where I was like, this will kill me if
and
I don't
I think,
talk about
I
it.
Think that's almost like a defense mechanism because, like, I have said in the past that part of my fear of confrontation is finding out the person that I'm with is not a good person. Like,
yeah.
if I bring up an issue and we get into an argument, like, they're going to start yelling at me or calling me names or throwing things. And, like, that is shit that I know, like, okay, I have to walk away at this point. And so not talking about things is a good way to, like,
yeah.
if I don't address it, like, nobody knows what's going on and it can just... go
yeah.
by unnoticed.
Yeah.
So, like, you're doing it so you still have an excuse to stay.
For sure.
Like, so, like, with Kane, you weren't telling us or your family about what was going on because you were still hoping you could get through it and work
well,
it out.
And
know?
I also was in this, like, phase of, like, I really could not believe that what I was going through was something that I was going through.
Right.
Like, I think I was in denial.
Just absolute denial, yeah.
Well, I think I was in denial when I was realizing that, like, what I thought was going to work and we were going to get through this phase and it wasn't working and we weren't getting through it
right
and it just
right.
continued. I was like, this ain't gonna work, and I gotta maybe talk to my family and my friends about like what's going on, especially because I think early on, even when I knew I wanted to leave, I started to kind of in my head make like a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But like if that day comes where like I realize that we're not gonna work and blah blah blah, and so yeah, it's weird how much you can like bury and eat up without realizing.
Right.
Because I really don't think I was realizing how much I was hiding until.
Yeah. Oh, same. Like, my situation wasn't as severe as yours, maybe, but still, like, I, like, had not acknowledged that I was unhappy at all.
Right.
Like, I always tell people, like, in the game of mental gymnastics, this bitch is Simone Biles.
I love her.
She's out here cartwheeling the shit out of her problem. She don't know nothing's going on.
I don't think I told anyone until, like, I was actively ready to leave. And then, like, even then, I told maybe you.
Yeah.
And then, like, but then no one else. Like, the day I left, I was like, okay, now I guess I call my mom.
Right.
Now I guess I'll tell her that things are going on. And then, like, because I moved in with my brother for a little bit, and I was like, I guess I'll let him know what's going on.
Oh, my God. And when I started...
see what's going.
When I started to open up to... like, even you guys, or, like, my family, or even Shreya, because, you know, Shreya, she doesn't hide what she thinks. And, like, the reactions of, like, telling people what I was going through, and they're like, that's not okay,
right.
Or even remotely normal, or, like, what are you doing? And I think that was a huge realization, like, holy shit, this is bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I, like, I understand the idea of not airing your dirty laundry on social media. You know?
No,
like,
I would never.
But at the same time, like, if that's the only outlet you have to let people know things aren't okay and to, like, give yourself some accountability, like, air it the fuck out. I don't care.
Right.
Like, tell us that your husband's a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because sometimes that's the only way to get people to say, hey, that's not okay. This is not something you should deal with. Like, you need to put your foot down. And sometimes you need that push of, like, external validation to realize it,
well,
you know?
Well, you know, recently, can I say names?
I wouldn't name last names, but...
Okay, our buddy Ashley on social media,
uh-huh,
in
mm-hmm.
the group or whatever, she's been posting a lot about kind of her struggle through co-parenting with her ex,
mm-hmm.
and it is so frighteningly
similar.
I think
he's got similar diagnoses.
Oh my God. Well, just like her situation and the guilt that she feels about, like, what do I do in the situation with somebody who, or clearly I'm co-parenting with, like, a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's made me feel a lot better recently, like, realizing that, like, you know, I'm not
You're
going
not
through
alone.
This because I'm not a bad, like, it's not because I'm a bad person.
Right.
It's like
right.
there, you know, there are other people who are going through this, and I don't know. It just, it's nice to almost. Like, I don't wish that on her.
Yeah,
it's nice to see
somebody. That's what I always say when I have somebody who, like, when I express how I'm feeling about something and they're like, oh my God, I do that same thing or I feel that same way. I'm like, I'm not glad that you're going through that,
right.
but I'm glad that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad this is not a me-specific thing.
Yeah.
Right, which I think is kind of the point of this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, our lives aren't beautiful and
no.
Like, we talk about some heavy shit on here.
And trauma can be bonding.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's very helpful to know that you are not the only one that feels a certain way or experiences certain things.
Well, I just thought my situation was so terrible. And, like, I wasn't, like, physically abused. But, you know, that doesn't really matter. But
emotional and
Well, I just
I
felt like it was such a small thing that, like, clearly nobody else you know is going through this. How could they? They would be smarter and know how to deal with the situation better. And then to see that other people are going through it.
Yeah,
like,
I think there's a bit of shame associated with like, quote unquote, getting yourself into a situation like that.
For sure.
And then seeing that. Somebody else, like you seeing that Ashley is dealing with the same thing, you're like, okay, I am not, it's not that I'm stupid, it's not that I, whatever, I did something wrong here,
mm-hmm.
like, it was just an unlucky circumstance that, that I fell into, and now I have to deal with it.
For
like,
sure. Well,
it
I think
takes
I spent,
some of that shame off of it.
Yeah, I spent half the time, you know, in the relationship really believing that a lot of the issue was me, and my lack of being able to deal with, you know, a mental illness that is very, very intense.
Right.
I spent half the relationship literally being like, I am the problem. I'm too weak to know how to deal with these situations, and all that I do is just shut down, and, you know, I don't know how to deal, and it's like, I wasn't the issue.
Right.
Especially when you advocate for mental health, like, when you're somebody who's like, I know that mental health is important, you recognize that he had a mental issue, mm-hmm. and, like, you use that to, like, validate and excuse the behavior, and then, like, even if you have a mental disorder that causes certain behaviors or thoughts or whatever, like, there's accountability. Like, abuse is abuse. It doesn't matter if you right. have ADHD or bipolar disorder or borderline or...
It doesn't even matter the intention, necessarily.
Right.
Because he would always try to defend and be like, you know, my intention wasn't to hurt you or break you down. It's like, it doesn't matter anymore that your intention was good. It's like, either way, I am breaking down and you are making me feel like a piece of shit.
Right, right.
So, yeah, that's all I have to say about intentions. Sometimes it doesn't even matter if...
I feel like with, like, verbal and emotional abuse, it's really hard to recognize, too.
Oh, for sure. Especially because,
like,
I had never dealt with anything to that capacity before.
Right.
So I was going in blind.
Yeah.
I remember there was a couple times when, like, I had to literally ask Britta, like, is this, like, love bombing? Or
gaslighting.
That's what it was.
Yes.
And I was like, is this gaslighting?
I didn't even know that
like,
term.
What is...
I didn't even know that term until I was in a relationship.
Yeah, and then I said something to an ex, like, the guy that I dated right after we had split up, I said something to him about something that my ex-husband had said to me, and he's like, wow, he's really verbally abusive, and I was like,
what? Yeah, like, even with David and I was just thinking about this the other day, like, the guy I dated before David, like, we were young, so, like, I'm not faulting him as a human being, but, like, he was kind of an asshole, you know?
Oh,
like,
100%.
He was just super, like, blunt with his opinions about me or my friends or whatever, like, always made me feel like I was annoying and too much, you know? And, like, there were a couple cases that were, like, downright, like, cruel of him, maybe.
Right.
So, like, when David and I got together, and with the history of my parents and all the relationships in my life that I knew, I was like, okay, well, he doesn't yell at me, and we don't, like, throw things at each other, so he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And so it didn't matter that my emotional needs weren't getting met, or, you know, like, whatever, because I was like, no, but he's a good guy because he doesn't yell at me.
Right.
And, like, that is literally below the bare minimum.
Yeah, I've talked about this before, where I was like, with my second husband, where I was like, okay, he's a nice guy because he doesn't hit me.
Right.
Or, you know, like, because he's not abusive. And I'm like, well, there's other things that he does.
Yeah, like, you don't have to be abusive to be a bad partner.
Right, exactly.
And you don't have to be a bad person to be a bad partner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe...
And you don't even have to be a bad partner to, like... Sometimes you're a bad partner to somebody else, and
that's
you're
what
a
I was
good
gonna
partner
say.
To somebody.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Just because David and I were not good partners for each other does not mean that we will not, in the future, make good partners to other people.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
I think every relationship is an opportunity to learn lessons about yourself and your relationship style and your boundaries and your needs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully, whenever him and I do start dating other people again, like, we will go forth a little bit more educated. Like, I will go into my next relationship being like, okay, he doesn't yell at me, and he doesn't throw things, and he's not an asshole, but he's also not it for me, you know?
Yeah, right,
like,
right.
I think we talked about it on the last episode about how, like, you don't, it's okay to dump a good person. Like,
right.
You don't have to stay with somebody just because they're a good guy. Like,
you can
still leave if you're not into it.
I needed to hear that, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that would have changed
Same.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
My
yeah.
trajectory of life probably would have been a
yeah.
lot different.
Yeah.
And just the ability to be alone. I was talking about it with somebody at work the other day. Like, I remember in high school, like, I would literally do anything to not, like, just be by myself. Like, I would constantly be around people.
Oh, I still struggle with it.
I hated to be alone. And, like, now... I relish my alone time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like to be by myself. Like, yes, I love hanging out with my friends and my kids and stuff like that, but, like, I also like look forward to when my house is empty and when it's just me. And
it's funny because I'm like that all the time, but then it comes to a point where I've spent so much time not being around my friends or like Shreya, even people I care about, to where I start feeling really anxious about being lonely. Like it's a weird thing, but then I like, even after coming here last night and leaving today, I'm probably gonna go home and be like,
yeah,
like even a little bit of socialness kind of makes me exhausted and I'm ready to be alone.
Yeah,
but then I can't be alone for too long because then I want to be around people.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful fine line.
He had an acorn.
But being able to be by yourself is huge before you start a relationship, because like I feel like the next relationship I go in, I'll be more honest with myself about how I feel about it. Because I will not, like, I won't be comparing it to the destitution and terror of being by myself.
Right.
I'll be like, they aren't adding to my time. They aren't giving me, like, they're not adding any value to my life.
Right.
And I'd rather just not waste the time.
That's what my therapist had told me. She said, because, like, shortly after I had split up with the guy that I had dated right after my divorce, I went into therapy, and she, you know, we're talking about all of this, and I finally had told her about everything, and I was like, so this is like the first time I've been alone, and I'm like in my entire life basically, and I just don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, one of her big points was a partner should never bring you happiness. It shouldn't be the reason, the sole reason you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
They can add to your happiness. That's what they're supposed to do, is add to it, but they should never be the reason that you are happy.
Yeah.
Right.
It shouldn't be either absolute devastation without them or like tolerable life with them.
Right.
It should be, you should be content either way, really.
Right.
And I feel like I've reached that point where, like, I don't spend all my time, like, oh, I wish I had somebody here with me. Like, if I'm lonely.
I want this house and to be alone in it so
badly. Whatever, girl, I'm out of here 10 hours a day.
That's true.
I feel like if I get lonely, like, I make plans with you guys, and that
I love that. I love that we. I think it's been. Has it been 2 years now that we've really all been like putting, and we've always put forth effort.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's really been amped up, especially because Cassie. I feel like for a while it was just Shrey and I going to visit Brittany. You know, it was always us.
Right.
And you were there every once in a while. Like, we would all four make a trip. But I feel like the last couple years, it's like we're all trying a lot to make sure that we're all getting our time.
Yeah.
Well, that was a long time in my relationship, too, where it was like I felt like I couldn't go hang out with my friends.
Yeah.
I couldn't, like,
Same. Do
all of these things because, one, he'd get mad or...
Yep.
To like, he was like, why do you, like, are you picking your friends over
kind
of thing. And so I
make all the money.
Yeah.
How dare you guys spend it? That was my experience.
Right. Well, no, that mine was him being jealous of me making more money than him. So, which is stupid. But anyways, like, I feel like the last couple years, even before we actually split up, I was just kind of like started speaking up for myself, and
for
I'm
sure.
like, no, I'm gonna go hang out with my friends
because I deserve it.
Like, and I don't care how you feel about my friends or anything.
Well,
like
you
that.
Might as well, because either way, you're gonna be miserable. Well,
right,
you would be miserable just heeding to what he wants, you know.
Right, exactly.
And so you might as well. He's gonna be mad either way.
And it wasn't even like he had outright. He never outright said like you can't go hang out with your friends.
Yeah, but
like
he
a,
made it
but
known.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
He would
drop the hints that like if you go
passive aggressively,
yeah.
right.
Yeah, and I will say, like last night, was a chill night. We didn't do anything special. Like
I loved it. We didn't do anything.
Like, we literally just sat in my living room and hung out. Chantel played cards with the kids. Cassie and I played on our phone.
We
went outside
volleyball.
For a little bit. They played volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we literally just chilled all night. And then we went and got Finley from homecoming. And
it fills my soul, though.
And but, like... It's so nice that we see each other enough now that we don't have to fill it with events and plans.
Right.
Like, we can just sit at the house and chill.
And we also understand that, like, we don't have to entertain each other.
Exactly.
I love that so much.
Like, I'm just as happy, like, sitting here playing games on our cell phones individually and occasionally
smoking our vapes. Clank.
Clank.
Cheers.
And, you know, just chilling instead of, like, making it a big to-do. Like, that's the best kind of friendship where you can just be alone together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Give each other a little bit of socialization, but not, like, overbearing. Like, it's fantastic. It's amazing.
I just feel like between the four of us, our relationship is just so comfortable.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Like, I tell people all the time, like, I know for a lot of people, it's rare to have one friendship that lasts, you know, as long as any one of ours has.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not only you and Sheree and Chantel, but like my cousin Lori, who
mm-hmm.
like literally we've been best friends since
she was born. Actually, interrupt what was going on here, but where's Finley and Sydney?
Sydney's over there on the floor. I think Finley's outside.
What's he doing outside?
Just sitting. But, I'm like, I know, obviously, like, I deserve friendships like this, but at the same time, I'm like, what did I do to get this love? And it's just, like, kismet. Like, we all, it seems like, at one point in 2019-ish, decided, like, we're going to go in hard on these friendships.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And then, like, with everything that's happened in our lives since then, like, there's just been so much need for emotional support, and we have been open to giving and receiving that, and, it's a level of vulnerability I've never experienced with anyone in my life, outside of maybe Lori, and even her and I, I'm sure, kind of occasionally hide, like, I know for a long time she was unhappy in her marriage, and I didn't realize it, like, stuff like that, like, just like anything, you keep it to yourself because you don't want to admit it's true,
mm-hmm.
but, and I think that hopefully when I do decide that I'm going to start dating again, that will be something I keep with me, like, okay, when you have that level of vulnerability, like, you have two paths that could take. One, they're going to say, this is too much, I'm not interested in it, and they're going to walk away, in which case they aren't worth your time anyway, because they're not going to be a valuable relationship. Or you open up and you're vulnerable, and it creates a stronger connection, a stronger friendship, and you can actually connect instead of that on-the-surface connection.
Right, exactly. And I think that's something that, you know, I don't know what I was going to say.
I feel like you're ADHD. Oh, I know.
I got
I'm trying to.
My kids and
guys, why don't you take the ball outside?
Go on.
What?
Shut the door.
Go take
the ball
outside.
Hey, you can't leave the door open.
I'm getting.
We didn't find
you. You need to ask Sydney before you play with that ball, because that's her good
I
ball.
I don't care.
Okay.
She's like, just get the children away.
Where's Sydney?
Hey, Foster, why don't you not do that?
She's on the floor.
We'll sorry, slight intermission.
Foster, come on.
Hey, Foster,
no,
come on.
Not yet.
Alright. I don't want my gift.
Okay, go.
Then you're going to get cord. Where's the cord?
No,
I wanted to ask.
Because I have long sleeves.
As children are speaking, I just wanted to say how beautiful it is, too, that we all have children that get along and are comfortable with each other. And so, like, a lot of friendships I feel like that I see, it's friends
like
that are trying
to
get together.
Out,
no,
yeah.
Not only that, they're trying to get together, especially without kids. And I feel like sometimes we try to do that, but most of the time our kids are just a package deal.
Yeah,
we're
yeah, like, we have some or all of them at most points, unless,
mm-hmm.
you know, we pawn them off on David, who's happy to help.
Right,
I still don't understand that, but bless it.
Hey!
Psst. Oh, that's a dog.
I will say that yesterday when I told, I guess I hadn't mentioned that Sydney was coming up until yesterday when we went to go get Finley pants, and
mm-hmm.
he was like, she's coming up tonight? And I was like, yeah, and he's like, well, that's not fair, and I was like, what? And he's like, I'm not going to homecoming anymore.
Aww. Aww. That's how close they are, though.
And I was like, Sydney's better than homecoming, and he's like, kind of. So it's nice that they, like, get along well enough to play, except Cora and Foster.
No, they get along really well, except
if either of them speak or do.
characters.
Yeah,
I just feel like they're so
similar. But they love each other and they miss each other.
Yeah,
so much.
They want to hang out so badly, and then
well,
they see each other and they're like,
that's
wait.
Exactly. Isla and Foster too. Like, I feel like Isla is constantly talking about Foster, and then they're together for 5 minutes and they're already arguing, and I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Oh, but Cora and Foster are on like a level of arguing.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They are constantly like. Cora makes Foster rage, and Foster makes Cora cry, basically 24/7.
Right. And they're, but also, like, Cora's a very...
She is a crier.
She's a crier. She's a very emotional
she's
child.
She's very sensitive, yes.
Yeah, she takes things to heart.
Yeah,
like,
she does. She has big feelings, that's for sure.
Yeah, like, Sydney will make some silly offhand comment to her, and she'll just start crying. And
aww.
I'm like...
Locked herself in the bathroom yesterday.
Oh my god.
So yeah, she locked herself in the bathroom because Sydney
I was talking
said
to my
something.
Cousins and I went, I miss you all except Cora, and I said, I'm kidding, and Cora went, you don't love me.
Oh, how dare
yeah,
you, Sydney?
Featuring Clem.
Always.
We're just featuring everyone today.
Yes.
The gang gang.
Clem's just a nosy bitch.
So what else is going on?
It's spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
The leaves are changing.
Yay.
And I'm looking at the leaves out of your picture window.
Look
and
at
the
gorgeous.
Are
amazing.
It's like the
I'll take a picture for the Instagram.
With the little bats
ooh.
On the window, too.
Oh, with a cat in the window. Yeah.
I'll post that.
I'm
post
kind
that
of nervous thing. For... I'm a little bit nervous for winter, because... Well, my mom always had seasonal depression, and... I never really understood it. I just thought, you
mm-hmm.
know, like, she's always depressed, so I guess just during the winter, maybe because we're inside more, she's just a little bit more depressed, and that is what it is.
Right.
But when I started experiencing it myself and realizing that it's a real thing and very
mm-hmm.
intense, I just get very cautious when it starts to get cold because I know how easy it is to slip into.
Yeah.
Kind of
I know.
A.
That's what I have that same
about
too.
Yeah, I think
and
that
I don't even know if it's a vitamin D thing for me. Like
no, I think it's just
the cold.
It's cold. You
like
can't
I
be
literally,
outside.
Yeah, I literally want to only walk to my car and back out of my
yeah.
car. Into
I don't do well
building.
In cold either. Clearly,
yeah.
like my body percent is like
yeah.
0.2, so like I'm always cold.
Yep, I'm like a fucking chihuahua.
Yeah.
With
the winter's just rough,
here.
But I love dressing in winter. I love the layering.
Yeah,
but I think it's hard because. The days are shorter, and so the amount of sunlight that you get to see is just...
Yeah. Yeah,
like
especially, like,
I, get
you,
off work,
I was going to say, when you work 10-hour days, like, I don't know how it'll be here yet, but when I was up there, my commute was an hour, so I'd leave and get to work, and it would be dark, and when I leave work, it would be dark.
And luckily, you get beautiful, you have beautiful windows, and
yeah.
it's going to attract a lot of the sunlight, but the sunlight goes away real quick in the winter.
Yeah. I'm hoping I'll still, like, you know, I have winter boots, I have a good winter coat, I've got, there's a nice field across the street with some woods, like, I don't have to go far to, like, get a little bit of outside time, so I'm
mm-hmm.
hoping that I will not just sit inside and rot all winter, but.
Well, I know last winter I was really bad, and so this winter I'm very nervous because, like, my thing is, my schedule gets all jacked up, too, because it's a big, like, season for us. At work, and you know, we start doing overnights, but then like some nights I'll have an overnight, then some nights I'll have to be there at 6 a.m. and so that fucks with me too. And so I'm really preparing for it, but
yeah.
it's like my psychiatrist, I've expressed this to her, or a psychiatric nurse, whatever. But I've expressed this to her, and so one thing we're trying to work on as far as like med combos and stuff
yes.
too is like getting that 100% right as much as possible
yeah.
prior to that season hitting because
mm-hmm.
that's gonna be a big yeah like
and it's hard to prepare for it too like I feel like even when I notice I'm starting to kind of be a little bit of sad girl
mm-hmm.
I almost just watch myself fall further into it without knowing exactly how to combat it
mm-hmm.
So I don't know I'm a little bit nervous but I feel like I'm trying to prepare as much as possible and I feel like preparation works really good for me on like trying to keep Isla busy so that I'm not just going home and laying down and
yeah.
like, Isla's in my face like hey and I'm just shooing her away you know
yeah.
that there's some evenings that's just like that but I feel like I'm trying to prepare and make plans for the evening so that you know she gets her energy out she's having fun you know
yeah.
we get dinner get baths
I feel like being mindful of it too is really
helpful,
because that's what one thing, like I had mentioned on our last episode, where I had gone through like a slight dip, like a mild depression, because I was like, holy shit, this is depression.
How do you tell actual depression from your kind of normal?
Right, like my...
Especially when your depression had been so severe.
Like. Right, like my depression, it was like mild depression, and I'm like not used to it because I'm used to severe depression.
Yeah.
And,
Hey, shut it.
I did!
It's not shut all the way. Go the other way.
And I, was able to recognize it and actually, like, kind of nip it in the bud a little bit beforehand.
Yeah,
so
and
I
you
feel
just,
like,
messaged us and like, hey, guys, this is
Goggle hit me so hard and aimed my heel.
That's not very nice. You okay? Mm. We'll talk to Gunner, buddy.
Gunner did?
Yeah.
With the ball?
Yeah, and he also did this to me.
We'll talk with Gunner. This is just always what I say when Isla is an asshole. And I'm like, I'll just talk to her. Try to show up.
But yeah, I recently, Finley thought he heard me say something the other day, and he's like, did you yell something? And I was like, I don't know, I might have just yelled that I don't want to be alive. I do that a lot. And then I was kind of like, I do that a lot.
Oh,
and then I was like,
man,
am I a little depressed? And so I'm like, okay, I might need to adjust my meds when I talk to my psychiatrist later this month too. But hey, the first time it took me like 30 years to realize I was depressed.
Right.
So that's on growth.
Right, right. And I think it gets easier. I hope.
Oh, that's it. Got it.
I hope it gets easier.
Yeah.
I hope I don't slip back into a major depression like I did before. But I feel like it's getting easier to recognize.
Yes.
The more that I work on myself and the more that I go along.
Yeah,
I agree. So. I try to write and read when I know that I'm slipping, because I'm like, you got to talk about what's going on, otherwise you'll just eat it and die.
Right. It's like Chantel said, it's especially like, at first it's hard to like know where your baseline is if all you've known is like being depressed or being anxious or whatever it is. Like, it's hard to realize that's not normal. Like, I always tell people, that's why my parents, whenever people were like, oh, she has ADHD, they were like, she's perfectly normal. What are you talking about? Because those assholes had undiagnosed ADHD. So how would they know? I was normal to them. And
yes,
it's kind of the same thing. So I'm like, no, I'm not depressed. This is just normal.
Yeah.
And because that's the way I felt my whole life. So like...
just sad girl season.
Yeah. Like, looking into it more, again, like, pooling experiences and talking to other people and being like, oh shit, wait.
Right.
That's not normal.
Right.
Is very helpful, and like you said, like writing, like journaling and stuff like that, establishing your baseline, like, okay, this is how I feel when I am good, this is how I feel when I'm maybe not so good, this is how
I
feel when I'm really bad.
I do a lot of putting notes in my phone, that's my form of writing, and it's really good for me in my growth process to look back and be like, wow, that was dark.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, I don't know, it just almost makes me feel better that, like, hey, you made it through that, okay.
Yeah.
Like, look how bad you were here, like, look where you made it.
Absolutely. Or,
you know, you're always gonna be...
You were at a 2, now you're at a 6.
Yes.
Next you'll be at an 8, you're gonna get there, it's okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
like, even though next time you're at a 2, and it's like, why am I, you know, why do I keep
I'll get back to a 6,
right,
yeah.
It's like, you will get back, like, it just takes some time, and a lot of effort. I can't believe she's torturing that cat all day. We're kidding. But yeah, I'm feeling hopeful that this winter won't be me just literally locking myself in my house and not talking to anybody, because you guys know how bad I am at texting and getting back to people.
You guys want to come set up my tree on November 1st with me?
Yeah.
I'm going to be one of them early-ass bitches.
We can make it, make it like a kind of still a spooky Christmas tree before converting it to like a Christmas tree.
I used to be very... vehemently camp day after Thanksgiving, but now I just feel like I don't have enough time to enjoy Christmas decorations when I'm at work so much. So if I'm going to put all the time and effort into putting a tree up and then taking it down eventually, like, I'm going to have it up for a while and enjoy it. So it's 3 more fucking weeks, and now I have this beautiful giant window to put it in front of, and I'm very excited about that.
And you know what? Anyone who is anti,
like, why are you shitting on somebody's happiness?
I can see
where it's low key annoying to see somebody's house decorated for Christmas right now. Okay, I get it. Like, sure, it's
but
something.
People get so angry.
Yeah,
and it's like,
just roll your eyes and move the fuck on. Nobody needs your opinion on it. Go talk to your friends about it. You don't need to be spreading on, I don't know, Facebook or Instagram about how dumb those people are, because those people may be fighting seasonal depression with shiny Christmas lights, and that's perfectly reasonable. Or actual depression, or maybe they aren't depressed and they just fucking like Christmas trees.
Yep.
So good for them. Let them have their joy.
Seriously.
And stop being a shithead about it.
Right.
It's the same thing like with the whole basic bitch pumpkin spice thing. Like,
I fucking love pumpkin spice.
If you, if you want fucking pumpkin everything from September 1st until Thanksgiving, then do you, boo. Like, that's great. Good for you.
Exactly.
I'm into your joy.
People be happy.
It's not hurting you at all. If they're not forcing you to drink their pumpkin spice latte, shut the fuck up about it.
Yeah. Agreed. I was going to say that I think another thing around the holidays that's really hard for me is I don't necessarily have my own family. My family is Isla and I.
Right.
So, all through these years, we've always celebrated our Christmas morning with Sheree and the kids. So that's, our Christmas. But it almost just makes me sad because I'm like, I want my own family. Like, why don't I get that? Why don't I get my family to enjoy Christmas? I feel like that was the last couple of years. But, I practiced being mindful and grateful pretty recently that I've been thinking, I'm so lucky that I have a family to go enjoy Christmas with. And, I don't have to think about it in that way that it's like, oh, it's just Isla and I. I wish that we had, our own family, whatever, to where I've switched that into, we do have our own family. It might not look like everyone else's.
Right, right, yeah.
It's a family.
It doesn't have to, yeah.
No.
Right, I had my own family growing up to celebrate every Christmas morning. We had traditions. We had all this stuff that, I, as a parent, don't give my children. We don't have a lot of holiday traditions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But my family was chaotic and unhealthy and unsafe for people.
Yeah.
And
right.
So, I would rather it just be me and Finley than... if his dad and I were, my parents, no, cool,
mm-hmm.
we're good. We'll,
yeah,
it'll just be us. That's fucking fine.
Yeah.
We put the shoes on.
Agreed.
Hey, can you guys stop talking?
Is this your guys' most successful podcast so far? I think everyone's been featured in this video.
Yeah, they've all
it's
been.
Beautiful.
They've
beautiful.
All had their moment to shine.
Yeah. And I don't think we did as much as we wanted to this fall. All of us wanted to get together a little bit more and do, a lot more, but I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
I think this year, especially, I've just realized that, we're all adults with our own struggles, our own busy schedules, our own lives.
And money is bullshit.
Money
bullshit. Is bullshit.
I hate the society, I really do.
Capitalism.
I'm making
is
money
a
to
scam.
Just exist.
Yeah. Just to be.
Just to be, yes. And I'm a world who appreciates none of it.
I talked to Finley the other day about how we need to, rope it in on our finances so that we can get my credit cards paid off. And, we talked about how I was I'm going to do a budget and make it, a weekly allowance. Every paycheck we'll get this amount of money to blow, on fast food or antiques or going and doing haunted houses or whatever.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's done. So if he asks me to buy him a game on Steam and we've already used our, $150 for that 2 weeks, he can't have the game on Steam. And, he was pretty open to it, but he's so anxious about money that he was when you say that, the credit cards are out of control. Yeah. He's when you say the credit cards are out of control, what do you mean there? And I was just that I need to pay him off. We're not starving. We're not losing the house. And he's like, okay. Because he gets so anxious about it. And
I'm also, I think it's so, I was so sheltered from, you know, we were in the church as well. So, like, your role as a woman is to just kind of be in the kitchen and handle the kids.
Clean.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, me not being taught finances at any point until after I was already, like, an adult, I think it's kind of cool that Finley's, like, aware of money. That sucks that he has a little bit of anxiousness about it.
You just have to be very specific when you talk to him about it that, like, our definition of, like, financial strife is not the same as, like, somebody who's living on the streets definition, you know? Like, what I mean is I have too many credit card payments, and it's, like, creating a cycle of using the card and having to pay it and using it. And, like I was telling him, I'm like, if I don't have to make all these credit card payments every month, then we'll actually have extra money that we could save and go on vacation or, like, do fun things instead of just, like, nickel and diming our way through life. Like, it'll be too...
I'm also struggling with that because, like, obviously as a single financial mother as well, like, I'm not getting any help. I'm realizing that, like, you know, kids her age are already going to, like, Disney or going to the beach with their families, and, like, I'm not able to right now provide that.
Yeah,
it
stresses me out. Yeah.
I don't know why. Like, Isla's good. Her life's fine. She doesn't, like, she doesn't need a vacation to have a, you know, a fulfilled childhood.
Yeah, and
I think
Finley didn't go on his first, Finley didn't go on his first vacation until last summer.
Colorado.
California.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a success. A successful vacation.
Yeah, it was great. And, but, like, I want to be able to do that again without, like, totally stressing ourselves over the finances of it, you know?
Where did Gunner go?
And that was nice. That's what I did was last time I'd had, like, $5,000 saved up before we went to California. So I did end up spending more than that because, of course, I did.
You found the jeans.
Yeah, they're so good. Oh, yeah, so she bought two pair. But I didn't have to, like, put all of it on a credit card or whatever. And that's what I hope to get to again, is to be able to save that much money and do something fun.
Have
fun with this episode. Now that they've spoken their piece, get down.
This episode's for all the ADHDers out there.
All of them are. They're all for you guys. I mean, I think that's all I really have this week, though.
Yeah.
There's not too much exciting.
So we will catch you guys in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, nothing too interesting.
Your boob.
That's okay. The amount of times I've touched your boobs, so by accident, like, it's